Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Marlene Lockhart and I talk with Congressman Joe Heck. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ellie Lopez-Bolin, Mike Bosma, and John Galtney. It's all coming up next on All New Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Congressman Joe Heck, running against John Osagura for CD3. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir. I want to start out with the news that broke just a couple of days ago with Hillary Clinton taking responsibility for the actions in Libya. Your thoughts on that, sir, as you sit on the Intelligence Committee?
Well, certainly I'm glad that somebody in the administration is starting to take responsibility for what happened. But, you know, I think we got to keep our eye on the bigger picture. And unfortunately, this became far too politicized too early in the event. You know, the thing to keep in mind is that four dedicated U.S. public servants lost their lives, one of whom was actually from my district. And so in the, you know, quick move to make political hay out of it, you got to realize that this had a real impact on real families and real lives. And now that the information is starting to come out about what we knew, what we didn't know. I'm just glad that somebody's taking responsibility. But the last I checked, the buck doesn't stop at the Department of State. The buck stops at the White House.
Let me ask you about this discussion now in the New York Times about special forces operations being put together. Do you think that's an appropriate response?
In Libya?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I think certainly we've got to make sure that we're protecting our U.S. interests, whether it be the consulate, the embassy, and our personnel that are within these hostile areas. And some of the best ways to do that is with our best trained troops, which would be our special forces.
Let's talk a little bit about Syria. What do you think the U.S. involvement should be at this point in time, if any?
Well, I think the first thing is we are certainly coordinating well with our allies in the region, who are really have taken a much stronger role and a much more hands-on role, as they should, considering it's in their backyard. So very involved with coordinating with Turkey, with Jordan, with Lebanon, with Israel. And I think that the concern that I have at this point is that it doesn't seem like there's any consistency to foreign policy. You know, we went into Libya based on a humanitarian crisis. However, the humanitarian crisis in Syria is much worse than it was in Libya, and yet we're playing on the periphery while we're trying to support our allies in the region, but really haven't committed much to doing anything to alleviate the suffering within Syria.
So what do you think we should be doing?
Well, I think we need to take a much more proactive role. I don't think we should be committing troops to the ground, but I think that as we try to negotiate, as we have with Russia, to try to take a more proactive role in getting Iran from stopping to support Syria, but we should become more engaged in that area, certainly in the refugee crisis that is now spilling over into Turkey, Jordan, and Lebanon. And now that we see there's cross-border skirmishes between Turkey and Syria, between Lebanon and Syria, this has the potential to really erupt into a much broader, widespread regional conflict, and we can't be behind the power curve in addressing it.
Do you think that Congress bears any responsibility, since Department of State did request more money for security and was cut substantially?
No, because the amount of money that was requested certainly is enough to fulfill the obligations that the Diplomatic Security Service and the Department of State needed. The cuts that were made haven't gone into effect prior to the time that this request for additional security came through to protect the consulate in Benghazi. So, you know, they have a lot of assets, and they need to move their assets to the areas of greatest need. And they failed to move the assets, to recognize the threat, and move the appropriate assets into position to provide protection to the consulate in Benghazi and to provide protection to Ambassador Stevens.
Do you have any plans when and if you go back to Congress to increase the security budget?
Well, I think it has to be reviewed across the greater appropriations budgets as we try to rein in our spending to control our debt. But, you know, certainly when we look at security and defense spending, which is one of the biggest issues that we have on our plate when we get back in the lame duck session, is the impending sequester and an additional $500 billion worth of cuts to the Defense Department over and above the $487 billion that are already scheduled to take place, meaning $1 trillion in cuts over the next 10 years, which will certainly hollow out our ability to provide security around the globe and certainly keep us safe back home.
Do you believe sequestration is actually going to occur?
I hope not, and I'm hopeful that we can get past it. I mean, the House has already passed out a sequestration replacement bill. The Senate failed to take it up, failed to act on it. The fact is, we know that the Department of Defense cannot withstand an additional $500 billion of cuts over the 10 years. Even Secretary of Defense Panetta has said that cuts of that magnitude would do serious harm to our men and women in uniform, their families, and our military's ability to protect our nation. But it's not just the Department of Defense. There's also the social service side that would see a 50% cut. So it's my hope that we can come up with a sequester replacement mechanism to alleviate those really devastating cuts moving forward, but still keeping in mind that we have to take steps to rein in our spending and lower our overall debt.
Do you think any member of Congress would be reelected if there was sequestration?
You mean in 2012? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that if there was sequestration moving forward to 2014, you know, I think that depending on what the lay of the land would be at that point, certainly sequestration is going to have a devastating effect. I mean, we've heard economic analyses saying that if sequestration takes place, you could count on an almost 1-2% increase in national unemployment rates because of the effect that it's going to have on the economy. And so I think that's the driving force between coming together, you know, in the lame duck session to come up with a sequester replacement, even though the House has already put one out that the Senate has failed to act upon. We need to come together and figure out how we're going to take sequester off the table, but again, take those steps to lower our debt and rein in our spending.
All right, more with Congressman Joe Heck when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Well, I've been in business 25 years, and in this economy, it's very hard. I work 7 days a week. I don't even know how to verbalize that in the year 2012, Dean Heller would be voting, or that we would be discussing equal pay for equal work. I don't know who Dean Heller's working for, but it's certainly not Nevadans like me.
Women Vote is responsible for the content of this ad.
Kitty Jung is well known for standing up to the good old boys. Unafraid to take on the powers that be, Kitty is a zealous advocate for all the rest of us. Working hard on our community, she served the Washoe County Commission the last 5 years. Now we need someone on our side at City Hall, and we can count on Kitty Jung. Her opponent? Just a mouthpiece for the status quo. Kitty Jung, standing up for us.
The plan would end Medicare as we know it.
Repeals Medicare.
And that's the same plan Dean Heller voted for twice. But it gets worse. On July 25th, Heller voted to give another $160,000 tax break to millionaires. Minutes later, he voted against a tax cut for the rest of us, the middle class. Two votes against Medicare, two votes against the middle class. Dean Heller just keeps getting it wrong. Patriot Majority USA is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Joe Heck.
Congressman, you spent service in the military, and we thank you for that service. And then subsequently, you had a medical practice that was derived primarily from government contracts. And now you're on the federal payroll as a congressman. Do you think that you're one of Romney's 47%, or as Ryan said, one of the takers?
Well, I think first there needs to be a clarification about the business that I had. It was a consulting firm that had both public and private sector contracts. And so just like any business that's a consultant, their contracts, you provide a service, you provide a product, and then the company receives the payment in accordance with the contracts. So obviously I had to dissolve. I dissolved that business when I got elected to Congress because I felt that it would be too much of a conflict of interest because of some of the government contracts that I held. Being a member of Congress now is my full-time occupation, although I still practice a little bit of medicine through my reserve status in the U.S. military. But being a member of Congress is my primary occupation, and that's what occupies all of my time, whether I'm in D.C. or back here in the district, other than when I'm putting on the uniform and serving my country.
So do you think you're one of the 47% or one of the takers?
Well, I think when you look at the comment about, you know, the 47%, it's who makes up the 47%. I mean, a portion of that 47% are people who are currently unemployed. So obviously they're not paying federal income tax. Another portion of that 47% are senior citizens who have paid federal income tax their entire working lives, and now they're retired, so they aren't paying federal income tax. But there is still a portion of people within the 47% who are working, who aren't paying federal income tax. In fact, there's corporations within that 47% that are making profits in the United States that aren't paying federal income tax. And so the goal is to get everybody paying into the system. And I don't care if you pay in a dollar. Everybody benefits from the services that the federal government provides, and everybody benefits from that man or woman in uniform standing a post in some faraway land protecting our American liberties and freedoms. And I think everybody should be paying into the system that provides those services to our nation.
Congressman, you've been very strong in your thoughts on Obamacare and wanting to repeal it. But what do you think the chances are, if there is a President Romney, of getting the 60 votes necessary in the Senate to get this repealed?
Well, you know, I don't think we're going to have an opportunity, unfortunately, to get to 60 votes in the Senate, but it takes 51 votes to pass a budget by reconciliation, and so there's opportunity to defund portions of the health care reform law in the budgetary process. And while I've always talked about repealing those onerous provisions that fundamentally change the way that we provide health care in this nation, and as a practicing physician, I believe not necessarily for the better, we've also got to look at maintaining those provisions that make sense, and that's why I've talked about repeal, repair, replace. And so those health care insurance reform provisions that the consumer protections are important. And that's why I've introduced legislation, H.R. 4242, which looks at keeping those portions of the health care reform law that make sense and that are necessary, getting rid of those portions that are really not in the best interest of patients, physicians, and families, and replacing them with common sense, patient-centered reforms.
And that sounds great, but I mean, the reality is of how difficult it was to pass a bill of this magnitude in the first place and previous bills like Social Security and Medicare. Do you think you're going to have the ability to actually get rid of this, or do you think you're going to actually have to just work with the bill that is there, and or the law that is there, I should say, and try to make it better, in your opinion?
Well, I guess a lot of that would be determined by the outcome of the upcoming election. But regardless of the outcome of the election, we have to continue to go through that bill, you know, unfortunately, after it was passed, page by page, to take those things that make sense, get rid of those things that change the way we provide health care, and replace them with things that will actually increase access to affordable health care for more Americans.
And so, in the interim, would you eliminate the pre-existing conditions, or would you eliminate a student being able to stay on their parents' insurance policy? And if not, how would you pay for that in the interim?
Well, the interesting thing is that even right prior to the Supreme Court's determination, a decision on the bill and its constitutionality, three of the largest insurance companies in the nation had already said that regardless of the outcome of the Supreme Court decision, they would continue with no pre-existing condition exclusions, no lifetime caps, and allowing children to stay on their parents' policies to age 26. So already they realized that that's the way the market is moving, and they were going to continue providing that coverage regardless of the Supreme Court decision. And in fact, talking to insurance companies, getting rid of lifetime caps really doesn't change significantly the cost of providing a policy. And allowing kids to stay on their parents' policy to age 26, when most policies already allowed it to age 23, really, again, does not fundamentally change the underlying cost of providing health insurance. And so those provisions are important, and those provisions are included in my replacement legislation.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Always a pleasure having you on the program, Congressman. Thank you so much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
With the change of seasons upon us, it's time to start thinking about re-roofing your commercial building before the weather changes. D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal has you covered with great products from Firestone. Remember, there's not just one product for every project. D&D and Firestone have the right product for your roof. The experts at D&D Roofing will give you a tailor-made roof for your building. For more information, call 685-5555 or go to the website ddroofing.com.
Car accidents change lives every day. When you've been injured in a serious accident, you need experienced legal help to make sure the insurance company's offer is fair.
Some folks try to settle with insurance companies on their own.
That's why you need experienced, knowledgeable attorneys who will fight for you.
Bob and I used to work for the insurance companies.
We know their tricks.
Call Galloway & Jensen. Over 50 years experience. 333-7555. We fight for you.
We've gone from pulling into our parking lot, which was so depressing, there would be two or three cars in this parking lot, to our parking lot being full.
We have a whole second shift that we bought in, new employees, and we have a future at our plant now.
When you look at the president's plan, I don't think there can be any question that we're on the right course for today's economy.
President Obama does get what people need, and that's jobs and the opportunity to help themselves.
Stick with this guy. He will move us forward.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Why are people smiling all over the city of Reno? It's because they've discovered Absolute Dental's affordable quality. Absolute Dental will help you and your family get the whiter, straighter, and healthier smiles you've all been looking for. And it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. We're here to work out a way to make it affordable so you'll never have to put off taking care of your teeth again. Now that's something to smile about. Just go to any Absolute Dental location right now or visit AbsoluteDental.com.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services. And here's another satisfied customer to tell you why.
My name's Christina Squaw. I'm the property manager at Sawmill Heights Apartments. We use Evergreen Carpet Care because they provide the best service. I've shopped around and looked at other carpet cleaning companies, and they just really clean the carpets the best. They're professional, on time, and they're great to work with.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, John Galtney is here, President Emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. Ellie Lopez-Bolin is a community activist. And Mike Bosma is not only a CPA, he's also the host of Bosma on Business radio show on News Talk 780 KOH. Pleasure to have you all here. We're taping, this is Monday the 22nd, and so as we're taping this, tonight will be the big foreign policy debate. And I thought, well, you know, we should have our own foreign policy debate, mainly because, you know, as regular citizens, we hear about things going on across the world, but how much do we really have an interest in this? So let's start out with you, John, and talk about Syria and what your thoughts are on what's going on in Syria and what potentially the United States involvement should be.
Well, I think anyone who has an ounce of humanity has to be saddened by what they see happening there. But I think the bigger picture of the whole Arab world, the Middle East issue, and the failure to have a stable policy toward that. You know, the Arab Spring brought us refreshing, and we all, I think, had an optimism about it and that kind of thing. However, the follow-up has simply not been there. I mean, you look at Egypt at the current time, you look at what's happening with...
Well, you know, in truth, John, yeah. I was not optimistic about the Arab Spring, and the reason I say that is, for America, democracy is not necessarily a good thing, and that's been proven out.
Well, looking at the cost of this election, I'm sure a lot of people in other countries are saying we can't afford democracy. It's too dang expensive.
Well, I was disappointed with the lack of security for the ambassadors, and that was a very sad thing. I think we could have done a lot more.
In Libya,
I'm sorry. And I think that Secretary Clinton has come out and said, obviously, that we could have done a better job. I was also disappointed with the Obama administration that they didn't come out right away and talk about how it was a terrorist attack and how we still need to be responsible, protect our people who are abroad. So that's very, very important.
But the question is, how much money are we prepared to spend on this? This was not an embassy. This was a consulate.
Right.
The
right.
ambassador was a very wise man in the ways of Libya and the Middle East and chose to be there. You know, how much money is enough to spend on every single consulate we have around the world?
I think that instead of putting it into campaigns, we could be putting it into protecting people. I mean, you're seeing millions and millions and millions go into campaigns and people's lives
are challenged. So you're suggesting that we tax people
who are in political campaigns
to put money towards military?
No, but why can't they donate some money? You know, it's always about asking people to donate
please
money.
Put your donation letter together. We will put it on our Nevada Newsmakers website. Mike,
thank
your thoughts.
You.
Well, I think we just have to have a policy that says, are people safe? And then, and do we have an economic interest to have people in those places? You mentioned Syria, Libya. Unfortunately, I think the real issue is we had a perception of safety that was not there. People on the ground there knew there wasn't safety and then asked for help, and it never came. And I think that's really where the reality is there is this misperception of what's going on over there, and we should be the most informed and not be surprised like that ever. I think that's what my takeaway from that was. You know, hope and optimism does not make for a safe ground presence.
John, let me flip subject, sign you here. Military budget. The president wants to keep it about the same. Mitt Romney wants to increase it. But in listening to people like Tom Ricks, the noted military journalist, he says that, you know, traditionally at the end of wars, we have cut back on spending on the military. And, you know, there's a British saying that when you run out of money, it's time to think.
Well, I think that's probably a good observation. But I don't think we're out of a war. The Middle East is a tinderbox. It's going to stay a tinderbox, and we have a massive interest there in petroleum. I know. If you talk about the fact that petroleum is something to balance against military lives, a lot of people get extremely upset by that. But the fact of the matter is, this economy is a petroleum-based economy. And without that petroleum, we're in a lot of trouble.
Okay, but it's the rest of the world's petroleum. I mean, most of the oil that we get in the United States comes from places like Venezuela, Mexico, Canada. It's a much smaller fraction that comes from the Middle East. And now with fracking, it's going to be even less.
Agreed, but the oil or petroleum pot is just a giant barrel. If we buy from Venezuela, that's one issue, but the price of it is set worldwide. And so if you close those interesting straits and you end up with a massive war situation there, the price of petroleum is going up and the economy is crashing.
We still have a war against terrorism.
Absolutely.
There are still planned attacks and cells here and there around the world and in our country. So we could not be cutting back right now. We can't.
Well, Sam, I'm a CPA, and the books don't balance. And, you know, I think we need to have a policy. We need to have a foreign policy that is going to inspire those people to govern themselves. And we have a terrible history of propping up corrupt governments because it's in our economic best interest. And I think we should have a policy that supports the right positive behavior and doesn't support negative behavior, so that if nothing else, the people will like us and not hate us.
All right.
Because that bites us.
Okay, that's what we got to look. That should be on your tombstone, my friend. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
Are you looking for a new job? Then check out the News 4 Career Center. Contact Kerry Walker if your organization wants to be notified of KRNV job opportunities.
Nuts. Good to eat, not good for politicians. Greg Brower wants to represent Nevada families, but he supports tax breaks for companies that send the jobs we need overseas. That's nuts. And he thinks we should make it harder for women to access birth control and let insurance companies drop coverage for women's cancer screenings. Nuts. And Brower says ending Medicare as we know it is long overdue, which would leave seniors paying thousands more each year. Plain nuts. Greg Brower, not what Nevada needs.
Never paint your home again when you let DeBell Home Improvement in Reno forever coat your home with three coats of cover that's 12 times thicker than paint. Forever Coat saves energy on cooling and heating your home. It reflects heat and keeps out moisture. Forever Coat protects, eliminating wood rot and stucco damage. Forever Coat goes on stucco, masonry, and wood, looks better than paint. Call now, 826-6444. First 10 callers receive a $1,250 discount. Call now.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining creates opportunities. Since 1860, mining has evolved into a cleaner, safer industry. Mining is millions of dollars in environmental protection and wildlife conservation, reclaiming the land for recreation, like fishing, camping, and hiking. Mining is research and education at the University of Nevada, where careers are born. Visit our website and learn more.
We teach our kids to not just go along with the crowd, a lesson Dean Heller never learned. A reliable Republican, Heller supported eliminating the Department of Education and joined Tea Party Republicans to slash school funding, leaving us with overcrowded classrooms. He even cut student aid for college while giving tax breaks to millionaires. Heller voted with Republicans over 90% of the time. He follows the crowd even when it costs our kids. That's a failing grade. The Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
So you can't save money? That's easy as pie. Drink from the tap. A $3 bottle of water a day times 10 years times 6% interest is over 14,000 clams. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feedthepig.org.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, the one, the only, Pete Earnott will be here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.